Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be back at Metropolitan. Though, man, I didn't expect the place to be empty. Amen. They must have heard I was coming, Brother David. That was, man. You look around. Now, let me say, though, it's good to see all these teenagers down front here, man. That's a blessing. Amen. That encourages my heart, Brother Daniel. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be here. Thank you, Brother Turner. I don't know where the camera is, but anyway, thanks for letting me come tonight and preach, and look forward to hearing what I'm going to say. Amen. I can't wait to see what happens. Let me ask you, too, to be in prayer. Brother Rob and Miss Myra were supposed to leave today and just aren't feeling well, so if you would be praying for them. They're over there in the missions house. It's been quite an adventure over there. The Martins are there. Miss Debbie and I are there. And Rob and Myra's there. And swapping turns with the bathroom and all that kind of stuff is been adventuresome. But Brother David and Miss Kelsey, of course, hoping to get out of here tomorrow. So, man, really be praying, y'all. They get that COVID test results back and that everything goes well and goes smoothly as they, I know he's itching to get back to Argentina and tired of being here. Amen. So, if you'd be praying for them. All right. Let's see what else going on. Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We'll go ahead and get over there. And, you know, it's been, I don't know about you, but it's been quite a year. Man, you never know. I was talking to my pastor today, and we're out of Faith Baptist Church up in Bourbonnais, Illinois. My pastor is Brother Terry Angel. But I was talking to him today, and I told him, man, I got sucker punched yesterday. I was in Walmart, and all of a sudden, bam, man, just right there. Brother Daniel's looking at me like, really? Not really, brother. I mean, we were in town to get our fifth wheel worked on. We had had, back in August of last year, had an incident up in Missouri and bringing it to a shop over here in Burleson that works on our trailers for us. And we thought it was just some cosmetic stuff, going to cost us about $500 to fix. And he called me yesterday while we were in Walmart and said they're going to total our trailer. For those that don't know, that's what we live in. So right now we're homeless, and we'll be accepting, I'll have a cup and be accepting donations right back here later. But really, no, we really are, we've got to, find a trailer now in the next, that's not how we planned on spending December, Brother Wayne. Pray for us that God will help us to find another trailer. That is, again, that's what we live in. That's our home, and we were not expecting that. And, you know, the old devil's pretty good at every once in a while just throwing a wrench in the works. And seems like 2020's had a lot of that. Amen? And so it seems like he's really kind of had a heyday. And I don't know about you. I know last time I preached here, I said something about, you know, how the trouble that our nation's in. And folks, our nation is in bad trouble. And it's the sad thing is this, and please don't get too mad at me, but the lost crowd's not the problem. They're doing exactly what they've always done. They're lost. They have no concern whether they sin or not. I mean, if you're saved, listen, there's the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. And when you do wrong, he convicts you. The lost crowd doesn't have that. They have no Holy Spirit. And so when they sin, there's no conviction. When they curse, there's they could care less. That's why they can abort babies and not care and all those kind of things. But the saved crowd's not like that. Amen? In fact, I was showing Dan earlier, it says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. See, man, when you get saved, then the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within you, and you are changed. New desires, new want-tos, amen? And so understand the problem in America is not with the lost crowd. They're just doing what they've always done. The problem's with the saved crowd. See, we're the ones that we're living in sin, and let's be honest, we don't like to admit it, but we are. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, we just kind of give him the stiff arm. And the problem in our nation is a spiritual problem. And I'll be the first to admit, as a preacher, I believe, Brother Wayne, the problem's a lot of times behind the pulpit. We've lost our fire. We've lost our zeal, Brother Daniel. We're not preaching like we ought to. And listen, can I say that secondly, the problem's with the people of God not allowing the men of God to preach like they ought to preach. Instead of getting right, they get upset at the preaching. And that's not, in fact, we'll see it here in just a minute, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you have that, 1 Corinthians 16, if you wouldn't mind, let's stand. In honor of reading the Word of God, just one verse I'm going to read, verse 13, if you'd look down there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. If you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something, let me know you got it. Got it? All right. This is what the Bible says. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. I want to preach on this for just a little bit tonight. Where are the manly men? Where are the manly men? Let's pray and then we'll get into the message, all right? Father, as we come and we bow before you, Lord, we need your presence this evening. I need you as I stand and preach. God, please, I need you to direct my thoughts. God, I need you to fill me so that, Lord, you direct my speech. I want to be a help to your people. Lord, whether it's the folks here in the auditorium, whether it's the folks at home, watching, God, I want to be a blessing. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a help. So, Lord, please fill me. And then, God, fill the hearers. Lord, that they would be able to hear with spiritual ears. God, even those folks that are at home right now watching, help them to sanctify this time, just like they were down here at the house of God. That they'd not be up going to the refrigerator or to the bathroom or milling around, that you'd settle the kids down, and God, that they'd just be able to sanctify this time to focus in upon the preaching of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with them there at home, just like we want you to meet with us here in the house of God. So Lord, again, we just ask you tonight, use us and meet with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If I can, I want to kind of, and I want to preach to the fellas tonight. But ladies, understand, you'll be able to get help from the message just as much as the men do. But it says here, watch you, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. That word, quit is this. It's to be, to exist, or to become, to abide, or remain, to stand. So, Paul has written a letter here to the church at Corinth. Man, he has had to deal with a lot of problems. I mean, the church there in Corinth had immorality going on in the church, and Paul had to deal with that. They had much confusion about the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and Paul had to deal with that. There was just a lot of things that, and some of it, Paul really had to deal with in a very scathing way. I mean, the letter that he wrote was really, if you will, is just kind of in their face, and told them this is a problem, and you got to get it right. By the way, if you would, you're right there at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look over to verse 23 over there. This is what he said in verse 23. He said, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth." When he's talking about spare, he said, "I didn't come looking to treat you leniently. I didn't come to refrain from distressing you." In fact, he says in verse 24, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." Look, Christian, understand tonight, when you're in error, when you're in sin, when you're crossways with God, there is no joy for a Christian. Because that guilt separates us in our fellowship from God. And so we lose our joy. In fact, man, have you ever noticed this? When Satan tempts you and you give in to the temptation, immediately he uses what he was just tempting you with. He said, "Man, this probably the prettiest plum that you'll ever pick. Go ahead and take that." And when you do, then he says, "Ah, gotcha." And all of a sudden, that same emotion that you had of, "Boy, I just got to have that," now turns into Satan uses it for guilt. You ever notice that? And all of a sudden, now your fellowship with God is gone because you know you're in sin. And you can't get that fellowship back until you go to him in confession and say, "God," and by the way, can I say this? Hey, Christian, don't have a long list with God when it comes to sin. Man, when you sin, deal with it immediately so that you keep that account short and you keep that fellowship close. That's the only way that you and I can really walk as Christians like we're supposed to walk. All right. And so he says over there in verse 23 and 24, he said, I didn't come to spare. I didn't come to be lenient. He said, I came to do this. I came to be a helper of your joy. See, he wanted you to stay right with God. That's what he was telling the Corinthians. I want you to stay right so that joy will be full. Amen. And he says, not that we have dominion over your faith. Listen, understand tonight. When the preacher gets in your face and he's preaching at you and you know that he's nailing your sin, don't get mad at him. He's not your enemy, amen or not. Isn't that right? He's trying to be a help to you. And so the folks here at Corinth, by the way, that they did not get mad when Paul preached at them the way that he did. In fact, thank you so much, ma'am. Is that it? That's not wine or something. No, I'm kidding. We having a baptism, Brother Wayne. All right. I don't want to turn that over. I needed that, though. Can I? Never mind. Amen. Sorry, Brother Turner. This is the thing. Understand that we want to keep our fellowship with the Lord right, amen. And when we get called on the carpet for our sin, then immediately we ought to go to the Holy Spirit and ask for help, amen. Get that thing right. And what I'm trying to point out here is that that's exactly what the men of Corinth did. All right, and I use the word on purpose. That's what the men of Corinth did. As Paul's closing out that letter, look back to verse 13 in chapter 16. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men." Act like a man. Be a man. Now, ladies, we don't want you like us. Amen. And that you fellas could say amen right there. Y'all don't want the girls like you, do you? Yeah. Say amen right there. Listen, and God's trying to get a point across. Fellas, we are in some times right now, and let me say, I've found Brother Wayne recently. I've been preaching a lot of messages, what I would consider messages of preparation. Well, listen, we are in some unique times in America. We are dangerously close to losing our nation. I don't know how much you young folks realize, but socialism and communism is knocking at our door. And it is not a good thing. And I'm not here to tell you that America's perfect. That'd be a lie. It would. But can I say it's much better than communism and it's much better than socialism? And in the past, you see, people like the fellows that started our nation, Brother Wayne, the guys like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Quincy Adams, those fellows realized that, listen, if we're going to have the liberties, Brother Daniel, that we have, there's a price to pay. Liberties don't come free. And they, those guys knew what they were doing when they signed that Declaration of Independence. They knew that they were saying, everything I have is going into this. By the way, many lost their lives. The majority of the signers of the Declaration of Independence went broke for this nation. Many died for this nation. And we just kind of take that for granted today. But the point I'm trying to make here is this. They act like men. They were willing to take a stand as a man and say, what I'm fighting for is worth dying for.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but see, I believe with all my heart, I'm kind of like, you remember what Paul said there, in, I believe it's Romans chapter 9 and chapter 10, the beginning of both chapters there. First in chapter 9, he said, man, I'd be accursed for my nation's sake. If I could just get them saved. Chapter 10, he's the same way. You know, can I tell you, I believe the average Christian today doesn't have that kind of attitude towards America or towards our fellow Americans. Because we don't really talk to folks about Christ the way we ought to. Amen. We don't. I mean, we don't. Let's be honest. We don't want anybody to go to hell, amen or not. And it's the crowd that, this crowd cares whether people go to heaven or hell, amen? Isn't that right?
Amen.
And if we care so much, then how many did you tell today? How many tracts you got in your purse or your pocket right now so that when you have opportunity, you can tell somebody, hey, here, listen, I drove through McDonald's earlier and I handed the girl a tract. I said, hey, don't miss heaven, be an awful thing. That's all I had opportunity to do right there, brother. I couldn't go through the gospel with her. I handed a fellow, I was at the gas pump yesterday. I handed a fellow a tract, Brother Daniel, and I told him, I said, here, let me give you an invitation to heaven. I said, don't miss heaven, be an awful thing. See, why don't we do that more? If we really love America, and if we really love our nation, why aren't we really doing that all the time? Why aren't we prepared to do? And again, I'm talking to the crowd that cares, amen or not. Isn't that right?
Amen.
I mean, raise your hand and say, I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want folks to go to heaven. Amen. See, this is a crowd that cares. And so understand that we need to realize, though, what we have in America and what we are losing in America we are very close to losing. And the Bible says here, and I'm going to get to the message in just a minute, but understand, the Bible says here, to the men, watch ye, stand fast. Remember back in Ephesians when he's talking about the whole armor of God, he said this, having done all to stand. Can I tell you, sometimes it takes a man to just stand for righteousness. Say, I don't care, you can do what you want to, but I ain't moving. He said, watch ye, stand fast, quit you like men, act like a man. And we're in a day and age where we need some men of God. I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about whether it's young men, whether it's you fellas right down here, or whether it's the men, you folks at home. Understand, we need some men in this nation again. Some men that'll stand fast. That'll stand as a man. Now I want to just give us a few things on how to stand. And by the way, thank God for the women. But where are the men? Where are the men of God? I don't know about you, but hey, the women have no business being in leadership down to house of God. Now I'm for the older women teaching the younger women. That's a scriptural thing. But they're not to be the ones leading down here. And too many times, it may not be in this church, but I'm telling you, too many times, Brother Wayne, you've seen it, where the women are running things. And a lot of times, it's because the men won't step up as men. Amen? And so we're in a time, fellas, where, listen, let's be honest, COVID's real, amen or not. It is. But can I tell you, they have politicized it? For control purposes. They are using it to keep us from coming down to the house of God and meeting. Out in California, they're getting fined heavily just for meeting, for singing the songs of Zion. By the way, our Constitution says we can do that and that nothing can infringe upon that right. By the way, there isn't a COVID exemption within the Constitution. But we have many judges today that are ignoring our Constitution. And not trying to be political, I'm just trying to get you to understand why we need some men to stand. Let me just get on quickly. Number one, can I say first, we need men that are strong in salvation. Men that are strong in salvation. If you would, look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and down to verse 12. It says, whereof, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hey, folks, can I say this tonight? You better make sure you're saved. Can I be honest with you, Brother Wayne? I've preached this recently several times. I think somebody's standing up, puckering up, getting ready to blow a trumpet up there in heaven. Amen. I'm trying to say, hey, the trumpet's about to sound, and we're about to get caught up out of here, and you don't know when that time's going to be. And you better make sure you're saved. I'm not talking about religion. See, religion can't get you to heaven. Been baptized or a church member can't get you to heaven.
That's right.
Only the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith and trust in Him can get you to heaven. And you can try to do all the good things you want to, it will not get you there. And by the way, it'd be an awful thing you miss heaven. It'd be an awful thing. Hell's a real place. It's a real place. Don't you dare go. Don't you dare go. Don't you miss heaven because you're worried about what somebody would think if you came forward and got saved. I did that. See, I sat in a church pew. I'd been a nursery baby, Brother Daniel. Sat in a church pew, and at 12 years old, sitting in a church pew, started doing drugs. Yeah, 12 years old, Brother Wayne. At 16, I told my parents, that's it, I ain't going back. rebelled, cared nothing for the things that I'd been taught. By the way, broke Mom and Daddy's heart. I was one of those 60, 70s long-haired, motorcycle-riding, drug-dealing hippies, and I was pretty, amen. That's what I thought anyway. And broke Mama and Daddy's heart because they had raised me right. And thank God the Holy Spirit of God showed up in my house on September the 14th, 1981, Brother Wayne. And he squeezed my old heart. And I wanted to get saved. I didn't want to miss heaven. And you listen to me tonight. I don't know your heart tonight. Can I say this? So if right now, man, something inside your heart is just tender and somebody's saying, you ought to listen to that preacher. You ought to get saved. Don't you sit there tonight and not get saved. Don't you leave here tonight and not get saved. See, you don't know what's going to happen outside those doors. And it'd be an awful thing you miss heaven. Hell's a real place. It's a real place. And fellas, we need some men that are strong in salvation. By the way, I'm still a believer of this. See, when you get saved, salvation changes you. You're not the same person.
That's right.
See, I don't want to do the things I used to do. I believe that faith and repentance are involved.
Amen.
See, that salvation, repentance is this, fellas. It's headed towards hell and towards Satan. And saying, God, I'm wrong, I'm sorry. And there's repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus. So first, we need men that are strong in salvation. Second, I'd say this, we need men that are strong in the Scriptures. Men that are strong in the Scriptures. Let me ask you it this way. How much Bible do you read today? I'm talking to the saved crowd. Amen or not? But how much Bible did you read today? Can I say this, please? I'm for reading your Bible through every year. But can I say this? If all you're doing is reading to read and you're not getting anything from heaven, quit reading your Bible through. Slow down and get something from God. It'd be a whole lot better you read a chapter or a half a chapter and get something from God, because then you'll get the strength to be able to stand. And then you'll get hungry for some more. Amen? And you'll want to dig in that book. Let me ask you, how much time do you spend with the Scripture? Or is it this? Or the adults with this. Huh? I mean, we got every kind of book and magazine. We got things to eat up our time. How much time are we really spending in this book? Y'all understand tonight, if Jesus were standing here himself, all he'd do is quote this book right here. See, he's got nothing else to say to us right now, Brother Wayne, except what he said in between these pages. Most important book in all the world. Wisdom. You want wisdom? It's right here. You want knowledge? It's right here. You want to have a good life? It's right here. You're going to have to spend time in this book to get the wisdom. God said, man, get wisdom with all thy getting. With all thy getting. Wisdom is the principal thing, he said. Let me ask this, men. Who's the spiritual leader in your home? Or do you come to church because your wife makes you, or you come because you want to? Amen. Too many times, it's mom pushing dad. Too many times. Why aren't you having family devotions down at the house? It's getting too quiet, Brother Wayne. See, I'm talking to men that ought to be the leaders. And listen, men that are hungry for these words, hungry for this book, strong in the Scriptures. By the way, too many are just, man, they'll change versions, Brother Wayne. In fact, Brother Martin and I were talking about there's a fellow missionary down there in Argentina who's a mutual friend that has caused Brother David and others problems because he left this book, Brother David. He left the Scripture. That's why it's a problem. Hey, kids, how much did you read of it today? How important is that book to you? You young men, you understand? See, don't tell Brother Wayne, but he's got one foot on the banana peel and another in the grave. Yeah. Don't tell him. He's just about done.
I couldn't hear you.
Amen. See that? Isn't that amazing? They can hear way back in. He's sitting right here. And I'm right behind him, Brother Daniel. I'm not very far behind you, Brother Warren. We've been friends a long time now.
Yeah.
And see, we're the old men now. Now, I'm not old.
Right.
I'm older.
That's the way I feel.
No. But see, we got to have somebody come on behind us. Why not you? Why not you?
Amen.
Where's the young men that are surrendering their life to the Lord? Where's the young ladies that are going to surrender their life to marry Him? Amen. And see, Brother David said, hey, God's called me to Argentina. He had to find somebody to go with him. Man, thank God for Miss Susie. You know, life hadn't been easy being married to Brother Wayne. She said amen. It was behind that mask. Amen. Now, she loves him and wouldn't have traded it for the world. Maybe sometimes, but most of the time wouldn't have traded it for the world. Amen, Miss Susie. And there's been some tough times. But hadn't it been good stuff? Man, who's going to take his place? Why not you? Amen. Strong in the Scriptures. Let me get on quickly. We need some fellas that are strong in prayer. Strong in prayer. By the way, the Bible says this, pray without ceasing. Talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Fellas, if you're going to be a man of God, you're going to have to spend time on your knees. And I'll be honest with you, I believe that's where most men are failing. Because we don't spend time on our knees like we ought to. The greatest weapon that we have, the truth is that it's our way of talking with God. And Brother Wayne, I found this. While I'm praying, if I'll just get quiet, God began to talk to me. You understand, He doesn't have an audible voice, but He can sure speak to my heart. Ladies, by the way, you can be just as strong in prayer as men. You young ladies, let me help you here. Don't go running after a fella. You pray and ask God to send you a fella.
Yeah, that's right.
Fellas, don't go running after a girl. You pray and ask God to send you a girl. Because you go running after her, I promise you this, you'll get the wrong one. You'll get the wrong one. Girls, the worst thing in the world you can do is marry the wrong one. Amen. Strong in prayer. And I say, we need some men that are strong by example. strong by example. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. You may be in Philippians chapter 2 already. Look what God allowed Paul to write here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Listen to what Paul wrote. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul said, fellas, follow me. I'm headed in a right direction. And if you follow me, we'll get to the right place at the right time. Now, I wonder how many of us today are strong enough in our life to be an example to others and have the testimony to be able to say, follow me. By the way, can I help you here? Paul ain't anybody special. He's a man. And if he could write, follow me, Brother Wayne, you and I can live like that too. Huh? Brother David, down there in Argentina, they need somebody that can stand up and say, come follow me as I follow Christ. We need men that are strong, that can say, follow me. I'm an example. By the way, you can't live the hit-and-miss lifestyle. You can't live that up-and-down emotional lifestyle and say, follow me. See, fellas, can I be honest with you? The Bible says women are the weaker vessel. Ladies, don't take offense at that. You're not emotionally what a man is. God didn't make you like that. He didn't make you to be a man. You think different. Fellas, y'all help me here. Don't leave me hanging like, hey, man. Y'all don't think logically. You think emotionally. That's the truth. That's the way God made you. And can I be honest with you? Fellas like that. They don't want you to think like they think. Hey, man. I have to remind Miss Debbie, I don't think like you. I don't. And women think emotionally. And fellas, we can't afford to do that. See, we're the leaders. We have to be able to say to our families, follow me. And sometimes, can I be honest with you, that's not a popular thing to do. To say, get in line back there. Get back. What, boy? I'll wear you out. Huh? But that's what it takes sometimes. We need some fellas that are men that say, hey, I'm following Christ. Come on, follow me. Come on, follow me. We're in an hour, fellas, where we need some strong men that lead by example. Let me close with this. Take your Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 4, way back in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, 1 Samuel. There's some others in between there, but 1 Samuel chapter 4, look back here. That same phrase that we found there in 1 Corinthians 16 is in 1 Samuel 4 and verse 9. By the way, this is the enemies of Israel that are using this same phrase. It's the Philistines. Those dirty, rotten Philistines, the enemies of the people of God. But look what it says here. There's a principle that I want us to see. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men. What's the last two words? Y'all help me. And fight. Now, take your Bible, Luke chapter 22, real quick, and we'll be done. Luke chapter 22, down to verse 36. Luke 22:36. This is what he says. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Wait a minute, fellas. Don't carry a purse today. Amen. Cut that out. He that hath a purse, let him take it. And likewise, the scrip. He that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Now, can I be honest with you, Brother Wayne? I'm not sure that I know everything that that means. But can I say this? I don't think I'm doing the scripture any harm by saying, fellas, you better be ready to fight. See, our nation needs some men that are prepared to fight. I'm not your pastor, so you follow your pastor's lead, but can I say this? If you ain't got a sword, y'all think about getting you one. Because we're in a fight for America. We're in a fight for Christianity here in America. And it may be that it's going to come to a physical battle. You say, wait a minute, Brother Scott, wait, it happened before. Now, I have to be honest, Brother Daniel. I remember what Gamaliel told him. He said, you better be careful lest you find yourself fighting against God. And Brother Wayne, I don't want to fight against God.
Amen.
But listen, if God gives me opportunity to fight, I want to be ready. But it's going to take some men to fight. See, I'm stupid enough to believe that my nation's worth it. A lot of men have fought and died for our nation. Why not you? We can say what we want to. I'm not trying to preach a political message. But I'm telling you, they're stealing our nation. Brother Wayne, I'll be honest, I don't like it. If it comes down to it, I want to be ready to fight. Because I still believe she's worth it. Still the greatest nation in all the world that's ever been. But see, it's going to take some men. Saved men. Men that are strong in this book right here. Men that are strong in lifestyle. Men that are strong in prayer. Men that are ready to fight. Let's stand our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you this evening. First, are you saved? Again, I am not asking you if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a church member. Do you know that there is a time in your life where you realize you were guilty before God, deserved to go to hell, and you turned and said, God, I'm guilty. I'm wrong. Would you forgive me? And would you save me? If that's your testimony tonight, would you just slip your hand up? Preacher, I'm saved. I know 100% for sure if I died right now, I know I'm headed for heaven. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there anybody to be honest tonight that you'd raise your hand? Preacher, I'm not sure about that. But I know this. I sure don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I'd like to be saved. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? I see that hand. Anybody else tonight? You just be honest, preacher. I'm not sure I'm headed for heaven, but I know this. I'd like to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. Anybody else? I want to pray for you tonight. Let me say this. If you're not sure, you can be sure. You can get saved right tonight. By the way, God said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let me ask you, why not? Why not tonight? Let me ask you this. If God spoke to your heart tonight during the message, would you just slip your hand up? Preacher, God spoke to me tonight. There's some things that I see. God spoke to my heart. Let me encourage you to do this. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. In just a minute, the piano's going to play. We'll sing a song of invitation. When you come to the altar tonight, if God spoke to your heart, don't you dare not speak back to Him. By the way, one of the problems with America is we quit using the altar. Let's get back to that. Father, please, take the invitation now. God, for this one that's raised their hand and said they're not sure they're safe, would you speak to their heart? God, would you draw them this evening so that they'd be willing to humble themselves and come and get saved? And then, God, those that you spoke to hearts, I pray that they'd come to an old-fashioned altar. And God, that they'd talk back with to you to the things that you talked with them about. Please use the invitation as you see fit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, brother, if you would, you just... Come tonight. Go right ahead.
Preached, I was thinking about. That used to be the kind of preaching we heard every service. Sometimes we get so complicated in all of our intellect that we forget about our heart. And that was a heart message.
Amen.
And And I've already asked God to help me to be the man. And I'm praying, ladies, I think is a generic challenge. Men won't be men if women won't be women. I know that. And so there's a great need. All the need's not out there. There's a great need. Look at these seats tonight. Look at this crowd. There's a great need right here. So, Lord, help us to watch, and pray, and stand, and fight wherever you would put us to be. Brother Jeff, would you pray for us, please? We'll be dismissed.
Father, we do come to you tonight. Seeing the situation we're in this country, how it has gotten worse and worse over these recent years. Staring at the need of the whole world, really. And we do need to be like them, to stand up, to take our places, take up our crosses, take up the ministry that you have for each one of us. Pray that you help me. Pray that you help any mercy. Help us, Lord, fight right in the right hands. Fill your will. Pray that you bring us back safely again. Christ's name.